You moved from Hillcrest to St. Francis.
I did in 1967.
So you were at St. Francis from 67 until you retired?
Yes, sir.
And what year was that?
2001. I was also on staff at St. John's. I didn't do a great deal of work there, but I was a neurosurgeon on the staff at St. John's for all those years, too. I was a staff member of all three hospitals, Hillcrest, St. John's, St. Francis.
So I guess you would say that if you were going to be a neurosurgeon, you were in it at the best of times for
yes.
neurosurgery.
Yes, I was there at the best of times. Absolutely, that's yeah. true. I don't think it'll ever be quite like that again. I think that we're going to move on. Things are going to change. But I think we were there at the best time.
So the person right now who's about to step out and become a neurosurgeon
yes.
is going to face many more challenges than you ever faced beyond the surgical room.
That's correct. They're going to face many more challenges. It's a difficult field. I was just talking with Robert Mackey night before last.
And he is?
A pediatrician here in town, retired. And he told me in his class at Tulane, the number one student in the class and the number two student became neurosurgeons, number one and number two. What happened to them? One of them practiced a few years, became disenchanted with it, went back to Tulane and majored in pediatrics. He's now a pediatrician in New Orleans, this neurosurgeon. The other fellow had health problems, moved to California, quit doing neurosurgery altogether, and opened a winery. And so we've got two men there that, for some reason, just didn't stick with the job.
Is that because of the system?
I was just wondering, what all factors are there? There are all sorts of problems, I know. But to go through all that training and then not continue with your work, it's, to me, a big waste.
And that's a whole nother interview, isn't it, to ask that man why?
Many questions arise.
So how many years did you practice?
40.
40 years.
61 to 2000.
Look how many lives you saved, how many lives were improved because of what you did. It's got to bring you a great deal of satisfaction out of all those thousands of procedures that you performed, you told earlier.
It's been very, very satisfying profession. I really enjoyed what I did. I love neurology and neurosurgery. I still read it all the time. I've been studying the brain since 1956. The more I study, the more complex it gets.
How would you like to be remembered?
Oh, well, as someone who always did his best to help someone else.
And it sounds to me like even as a young man and older, you would step out and say, sure, I'll pitch in, I'll get this job done, I'll do it. Regardless of your current schedule or how many hours you'd worked, the job needs to get done and I'll do it. Is that true?
That's true. That's absolutely true. Yeah. I worked all day, and then I was on emergency room call at night. And after 67, I was alone. So God was my co-pilot, and I called on him often.
You say after 67 you were...
Yes, alone in neurosurgery. When I came to town, I had joined Herman Flanagan. He left town and went to Little Rock. After that, I practiced alone.
And then God was your co-pilot, you said.
God was my co-pilot, right, and my associate. Yeah. There's a tendency now to have groups. You've got to be a member of a group. Why? You're leaving neurological surgery training today. You owe $250,000, $300,000 government loans and other loans. They weren't all government loans, student loans. But you owe this with interest. You've got to pay this back. If you join a group, they will pay your $100,000 malpractice insurance, $100,000 a year. The group pays it. If you're with a group, you just have the emergency room call. If there are 14, one night out of every 2 weeks. There are very few groups in this world of 14 neurosurgeons, but 2, 3, 4, 5, that's not uncommon. I was alone, so I had my own emergency call, so I was on call all the time.
And your own insurance premium?
Yes, I paid my own. In those days, up until the time I retired, it was still fairly reasonable. But since I retired, it's trebled. It's now in Tulsa, $100,000. But let's take East Coast, West Coast, Florida, $250,000 per year in neurological surgery, malpractice insurance. Starting out in practice, there's no way that a surgeon can do that. Unless you're independently wealthy like Ernest Sachs.
And so then a doctor who goes to work today, because of our litigious society, he goes to work with a fear that you never felt back then. Would that be accurate?
That's absolutely true. When I started, my malpractice insurance was $800 for the year. That has risen now to $100,000 in this city. And they say, well, that's cheap compared to East Coast, West Coast, or Florida. And it's true. It is much cheaper than there. But we've now come to a time when to start practicing neurological surgery alone is just unheard of. No way to do it.
And then all this fear drives up costs because, as you said earlier, the CAT scans and all that we order, yes. And then we find out that 95% of them
are normal.
Are normal.
No one wants to talk about that.
And so we're really ordering those to cover ourselves.
Absolutely.
All spins out from it's real easy to file a lawsuit. And so what it just does, it keeps driving up the health costs.
The cost.
It's a round robin that'll never stop now. It's out of order now, probably.
It's out of order now, and we need some sort of tort reform. They always mention, oh, this is just a small part of the medical costs, but it's really not when you consider that, say, St. Francis Hospital, $50 million a year in CT and MR scans. I'm sure if we say to St. Francis, we don't believe you should do so many of these, I'm sure we'd be talking to deaf ears. The physician surgeon will order the test to protect themselves. This lady is in here, and I believe it's migraine. But if this is an aneurysm that ruptures and bleeds as soon as she walks out of here, I'm going to be sued. And being sued, you say, well, I'm covered with insurance, but just to go through it is a nightmare.
And who wants to have it on your record?
And you don't want it on your record. I had one in my 40 years. I had one lawsuit, and I won it 12-0. That's about as well as you can win it.
Yeah.
But I only had one. In neurological surgery, that's sort of unheard of because, oh dear, East Coast, West Coast, and so on, they have several each year lawsuits brought against them. It's time-consuming, and it's very distasteful.
Well, we've certainly covered a lot of territory here.
Yes, from Gary to Russell Brain said to me, where are you from, Coates? And I said, I'm from Armpit, Oklahoma, sir. And he said, no, Armpit, Oklahoma. He was taken aghast.
Could easily have been the name of a town in Oklahoma.
Sure. But I came a long way from there.
You sure did. Tulsa and Oklahoma were fortunate to have you living in our community.
Why, thank you, sir.
Could have been living in many communities. But it puts many of us in direct contact with a well-respected neurosurgeon, and people probably didn't have to travel to find someone as good as you because you were living right here in our town.
I thank you.
I want to thank you for this time that you've given us here today. Students listening to this can listen back the way it was, compare the way it is now, and probably wish, I wish I was practicing back then.
Back then.
Yeah.
The golden era.
Yeah.